8, 6, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Radio Art Hour, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Wavefarm Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Created specifically for terrestrial AM/FM broadcast. Whether it be by commercial, public, community, or independent transmission. Come on a journey with us as radio artists explore broadcast radio space through poetic resuscitations and playful celebrations, subversions of the complex relationship between senders and receivers in this hour of radio about radio. Go to wavefarm.org for more information about the Radio Art Hour and Wavefarm's Radio Art Archives.
Yes, I really like that a lot.
I'm
really the same person.
turning your dial. It just never stops.
I mean, you just keep turning your dial, and it just never stops.
That was Scanner with Turning the Dial. He's sampling Andy Warhol and turning the sound into art. Today on the Radio Art Hour, we'll also hear from Joan Schumann and her 2009 work Ligature. We'll also hear from 2001 Radio Guitar from Barbara S. and Peggy Awish. But next, Karen Warner introduces Neurotransmitters 12 Miles Out.
This is Wave Farm Radio Art Fellow Karen Warner. And you're about to hear a piece called 12 Miles Out, created by the New York-based project Neurotransmitter. Neurotransmitter was a project of Angel Navadas and Valerie Tavera that was active between 2001 and 2008. Neurotransmitter created 12 Miles Out in 2005 and it exhibited it for many years as an installation rather than as a piece made solely for radio broadcast. 12 Miles Out is an example of radio art that addresses radio as content, as material, and as a space. The piece is also a kind of archive of pirate radio, an archive within an archive. Here is Neurotransmitter's description of the piece. 12 Miles Out is a visual and sound installation that merges analog radio technology and line drawing. This work continues Neurotransmitter's exploration of offshore pirate radio practice, prevalent in Europe in the 1960s and 70s, and in the U.S. a decade later. Pirate radio is a tactic that undermines corporate media domination and occupies the privatized space of radio bandwidth for non-commercial interests. 12 Miles Out specifically references Radio Caroline, one of the most infamous offshore radio ships. Installed, the drawing represents a Radio Caroline ship circa 1964, setting the scene for the radio broadcast. The audio composition mixes live and ambient sound recordings of an ocean voyage Neurotransmitter took out into international waters, archival material from Radio Caroline broadcasts, and audio that references offshore pirate radio and the shifts in territorial boundaries that govern the sea. Multiple radios within the exhibition space will be tuned to the project's transmission frequency, or viewers can bring their own radios in order to listen to the work, end quote. Here's the 5.5-minute loop that is part of Neurotransmitter's 12 Miles Out.
Clouds will appear.
Hey, Dar-Slam!
This is Radio Caroline broadcasting on 199 meters in the medium wave band. We're broadcasting from the radio ship, the Mi Amigo.
You're tuned to 199 Radio Caroline, your all-day music station. The time, 1 minute past 11, and time to Henry Carl Conway.
Chicago, Dr. Martin Luther King has cancelled a protest march planned for tomorrow. In South Africa and Rhodesia, ministers have issued strong warnings to would-be terrorists. In New Zealand, the British rugby team has been beaten by 19 points to 6. And in London, the General Secretary of the TUC, Mr. George Woodcock, is in hospital with a slight heart attack.
Right you are. Well, if you're having tea now, it's 12 past 5 o'clock, or if you're going to eat at 6 o'clock, then you've got, let's see, 48 minutes to go before tea time.
I don't know what the weather's like where you are. It's calmed down a bit from what it was last night, but we still have a bit of a swell going for us at the moment. I've just been up on deck, I thought it might be good policy to get us over there before I came on the air. And the sea is very calm indeed, and yet the boat is rocking a bit. This is one of these peculiar things about being at sea, you get a, what's called a side swell. It means the waves come at the side of the boat. And the boat can be rocking like anything, but the weather be quite nice. It isn't sunny yet, there's a sea fog. The skipper is going to move our boat just a little bit more inland and see if we can get a better result. So if you hear the engines running during the morning, that's what it is.
Australia, Sir Francis Chichester has run into rough conditions in the Tasman Sea. Several hundred miles north of his position, there is a fierce cyclone that is causing strong winds and making the sea rough. China, following an incident at the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in which a window was smashed, Chinese members of the staff at the Yugoslav embassy in Peking have gone on strike in protest of the incident. America, it's been announced that since the 1950s, America's arms sales to foreign countries have increased by 600%. Last year's sales had a value of over £700 million. As a result of the American sales, Britain can't even sell enough arms to Germany to offset the cost of the Rhine Army. Russia. As a result of the present anti-Russian attitude taken by the Chinese, the Russians have complained over the recent rioting outside their embassy in Peking. They've also protested over the treatment of their embassy staff. London. Last night, a man was shot outside a public house in the St. Pancras area. The incident occurred after a political argument in the pub between communists and fascists. The man was taken to hospital where he was operated on. His condition is said to be satisfactory.
Radio Caroline North, national and international, now leaves the air to resume broadcasting at 5:45 a.m. tomorrow morning. We broadcast from studios on board the good ship MV Caroline, which is laying at anchor in international waters, 3.5 miles off the Bay of Ramsey in the wonderful Isle of Man. Radio Caroline broadcasts on a frequency of 1169 kilocycles, 259 meters in the medium wave band.
You just heard 12 Miles Out by Neurotransmitter. To learn more about Neurotransmitter and many other radio artists, please visit the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org.
Legend Barbara S., a boundary-pushing photographer, musician, and writer, and the creator of the No Wave experimental media zine, Just Another Blank Hole, died Thursday, March 4th, 2021, at the age of 73, according to Art Forum magazine. Art Forum writes, S. was most widely known for her large-scale photographs made using a pinhole camera, a rarity in the art world, but a device she used to great effect, producing blurred, haunting images that evoked variously dreamy anxiety, shattered romanticism, and the stuttering disquiet of the late 20th century. Born in Brooklyn, S. earned her B.A. at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, in 1969, before going on to attend the London School of Film Technique. She then returned to New York and immersed herself in the downtown scene of the time, playing in no-wave bands Disband, The Static, and Y-Pants, in which the musicians played toy instruments or, in some instances, fried chicken buckets, enhancing their thin, tinkling sounds with electric bass, a Casio keyboard, and occasionally a hammer. Also in 1978, S. launched her influential mixed media publication, Just Another Blank Hole, which took on various forms over the following 8 years, including a 77-track vinyl LP and an insert in Art Forum, on whose cover her work later appeared in 1990. S. employed an open submission process, co-editing issues with Jane Sherry and with avant-garde musician and composer Glenn Branca, her bandmate in The Static. S. is also known for her music in the 80s, contributing tracks to the Telus audio cassette magazine, and in 2001, collaborating with the experimental filmmaker Peggy Awish on the album Radio Guitar for Thurston Moore's Ecstatic Peace label. She began teaching photography at Bard College in Dutchess County in 1997, and in 2005 published I Am Not This Body, a book of her pinhole photographs. Her work, exhibited widely across the country, resides in the permanent collections of museums, including the New York's Whitney Museum of Art, the Museum of Contemporary Art in Los Angeles, and the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. Here's Barbara S. from the Radio Guitar album for Thurston Moore's Ecstatic Peace label. The album came out in 2001.
Thank you. what's not going on? Wait, I'm tapping on the mic now. Hard.
I can hear.
You can hear it?
Barely.
Barely?
Maybe it's his headphones. Hang on. We just listened to that thing on the headphones. That was weird.
Is it recording now?
No, I didn't pause.
Oh, well, maybe it has to be recording. But that wouldn't make sense. What was the...
Oh, it is recording. I thought I put it in pause.
Okay, so then you should definitely be hearing this.
ولئن أذقناه نعماء بعد ضراء مسه ليقولن
was Barbara S. and Peggy Awish with Radio Guitar.
This is Karen Werner, and I'm excited to share a piece with you from the Wave Farm Radio Art Archive, Ligature by American radio artist Joan Schumann, produced in 2009. Listening to a number of Joan Schumann's pieces, I'm struck by the sensuality and dreamy surrealism of her work. She combines documentary poetics with a radio drama and radio poem. Ligature is loosely based on the lives of Daisy and Violet Hilton, conjoined twins born in the UK in 1911. They were part of the European circus and sideshow circuit in the 1920s and 30s. Joan Schumann writes, quote, "They're retired now. They whisper themselves to sleep while conjuring what death will feel like when it comes to them both. Their single knotted torso extends beyond immediate relationship out to the world. Quote, Ligature is part of a pair of pieces called Catalog of Mourning, as in grief, and is 19 minutes long.
Are you awake, beloved sister?
Wild.
Daisy.
Are you awake?
Look at it. It wraps us like a rope of away. A satin soft bell. Not a tap at a sash merely swirling around us with a faint aroma wafting over our just washed skins. Don't wake them. If you try to pull on it, yielding, everybody wants to see how much they can stretch it. But we've been practicing stretching with our breath, not against it, not restrained by it, dear sister. If we oil and massage this bridge of tissue, it's beginning to become supple. It's a mere sheath surrounding capillaries, that's all it is. Networks connecting the whooshing blood, our shared blood. This single knotted torso is all we know. It's all I know. Saying we is like uttering I. It's foolish to try to distinguish or parse the two. So why do I whisper when you and I are intertwined?
Violet. Daisy.
I can hear your soft inhalations. Your softer exhalations. I can almost feel your eyes fluttering beneath their lids. So why do I whisper? Why do I fear a bending end, dear sister? Dearest Daisy, when I'm lucky enough to follow one so close with my eyes to admire you always. Most people don't have this kind of bond. I guess they say we're too close. But to have such an other is to know in a more intense way. Yes, already injured, always insistent, more unforgettable. One of us will inevitably witness the other's death. We'll feel the blood, even. We'll see the ashen, ghostly skin replace the familiar pink hue. That pink hue I see every day. It's like looking. Dear sister, I didn't mean to wake you. You're awake.
Daisy.
I always relish your whispers in my ear, your warm lips, your soft breath signaling. Signaling I'll never be alone. Here, let's sit up.
Don't wake the others. Shh. I love the sounds the birds make. Their little wings flapping in an uproar out of the lagoon. Dunking their pointy heads feverishly in the water. Sometimes their manic bathing seems all in unison. Yes, and sometimes it's this quiet cacophony. I adore their bellies, with their thin white feathers stretched to cover such plump roundness as they skittle along the surf's edge, barely touching the ground. Was that a snowy plover we saw yesterday? Maybe it was a killdeer. How it sings. We should take the binoculars tomorrow. Yes, and the bird book. We're knotted together with this taut rope, this umbilicus. Never asked you this, dear Daisy. Do you begrudge Mama? It was she who begged the midwife not to utter a word, not to loosen a gasp after the last of our legs were. They say they tried untangling our arms, but we just held on. They cupped our soft skulls. Those fontanelles might break. They were so worried. The inevitable comparison to eggs in a basket. I don't begrudge her. I don't begrudge her that she relinquished her hold on us. I think Mama was brave. She secretly gave us each a breast to nourish when they told her not to. They told her that we should not be fed. It was she who nearly died, and she gave us life. She had no choice. Whose brazen but broken sea connected us eternally? She would never say. It was she who was ravaged by God's anger. Mama's the one that bore the weight of the devil's influence. She had no choice but to deliver us into the hands of that tyrant. That evil woman. That evil woman who held us so long.
For cutting the cords.
I'm so glad we're free.
But not the one that bound us, even though the doctors tried.
Tried to convince her to cut us.
Daisy.
No, this single knotted torso of ours, dear sister. I'm glad for it, dear sister. I wonder where Mama is. I was just remembering Coney Island. All those swooning fans.
I was just thinking about all those special dresses they made for us. Those
flashing bulbs. They accentuated our sash. They put satin over us and pearls and lace. You even adorned it with trinkets and charms. Remember that? That was lovely when you did that.
For some days.
They were beautiful. All those eyes ogling us. Those grubby hands wanting to grab our bond.
You were beautiful.
You still are beautiful.
Sash of skin.
But when we were on tour,
we were adept circus freaks.
Our talents sparkled.
Quite adept. It was great dancing with you, but I suppose no bow could ever really be expected to cut in to whisk one of us away and twirl around on the dance floor.
Daisy.
But I'm so glad for a quiet life now. Now we just wait for the inevitable.
Violet. Daisy.
Violet. Can anyone dispassionately walk by those beautiful carcasses, whispering the edge of the sea, the amazing color by the throat, white tips on the secondaries? How can anyone walk by and not wonder how they got there? Those gorgeous creatures were dragged by vultures. It's only natural to be left entangled in the eel grass. Hidden in the driftwood. You might lie there motionless for months and months and months. What good does it do knowing that they're there? Or wondering how they died? But Violet, the scientists have to know. They collect all the data. Daisy. Daisy, does knowing how their lives ended change anything? Everything dies. There's even a beauty in death. You said so yourself.
Violet, we might be destroying their precious sea. Soon the water will be too warm for them to even feed their babies. Oh, Daisy.
What good does it do us knowing that they're there? We're wondering how they died.
Think the law of friendship is when you have a bond such as ours? And what do you think the law of mourning is?
Well, Daisy, one must always go before the other. We know that. One must always die first. And in our case, it's going to be right in front of the other's eyes. We've known this from the beginning. Most people, even if they die together, their link will have been sutured from the beginning by the possibility that one would see the other die. So surviving would be left to bury, to commemorate, to mourn, but we're not going to have that.
Dear sister,
I'm glad for it.
Dear sister, I'm glad.
This posthumous infidelity that exists from the beginning of friendship, from the beginning, from our beginning. To watch me die? Maybe minutes or succumbing hours later? I would become this dying flesh still attached to you.
Daisy, you are just flesh next to mine, dear sister. We are one. How many times do I have to tell you this?
You're being unfair. As we came into the world together, so we'll leave it together. Remember.
I do. I think of them often, Violet. Are they really like us?
Some of them lived much less time.
Yes, but the Bidden twins, remember? After Eliza died, they say Mary refused the doctor's attempts at slicing her. Slicing that lost twin. Not even for an hour. And Mary, she was dead. She was dead within the hour.
They honor us in the same way they honored those righteous women.
It would be wonderful if they did.
They could make biscuits with our pictures, with our image emblazoned on it, and dole them out to the poor on Easter Sunday. That would be fitting. I suppose. I so often hear people say what the dead would have wanted. I think they just don't understand, or they want to believe. It's just absurd. To go on speaking of this all alone after the death of the other. To conjecture, the least conjecture, to risk the least interpretation, feels to me like an endless insult. Endless insult or a wound. And maybe the duty towards the dead. Violent. Are you saying we shouldn't conjecture what the other would want after she passes? It might just be a few minutes or a few hours. I have always wondered what you would want, but then I always knew I'd follow you. And quickly. So the absurdity is mostly with the rest of the world, with those who weren't gnarled. It's they who risk. They who conjecture. They who think they'll have this span of time without the other from which to mourn. Yes, all the world's a muscles I am. They don't know. They should stop predicting. They should stop predicting and waiting for that long chasm between the one's death and their own. Our photos are ready for the grave. Specters smiling down at each other. The only thing there'll be an end to is our subtle voicing. Though it's never been both. I won't have to visit you. I'll be lying there right next to you, embraced as we do in sleep each night. A gentle tug of the hips urges Violet to adjust. When do we materialize this enormous morning? Knowing the removal of a limb. And her whole being, to me, the silence, the absence. The paths opened up off all the beaten tracks, that deported memory. Morning, every possible morning. You will leave me, inevitably, Daisy. But I will not survive you. I will not survive without this single you. Knotted torso of ours is all we know. It's all I know. Violet. Yes, Daisy. What does it mean that all those puffins and auklets washed up dead on the beach last year? I don't know. I don't know, dear Daisy. Good night.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.